At the end of the day, everyone is beat and physically exhausted. Even Terry got tired of just watching Light Show do most of the work. You all go home, and Kimon, you got a text from Danny asking you to call him.
Okay, I knew this was coming. I'll go to Nicholas's place so I can talk with him later, but before I go in, I'll call Danny.
Hello, Kimon?
Hey, Danny. I take it you saw the news.
Yeah. I know we talked about this happening and all, but just, like, after it happened, you know, everybody seems really mad.
Blowing up a building will do that.
Yeah, but it's just that, like, well, we hooked you up with someone to get a meeting with the green guy in Mercury, right?
Some other goons keep calling him Mr. Green. Been trying to figure out a better name, but, like, Mr. Green is fine for now.
Yeah, well, we hooked up a meeting for Mr. Green, but that means that we know Mr. Green. And somebody else, maybe more than one person, knows that we know him.
Who else have you talked to besides that guy we got the lawyer for?
Nobody, but that guy could talk. Like, he'd probably get out of prison time real easy if he said he could get the police to you.
And that's actually an important point, Danny. With stuff like this, we gotta do a little carrot and stick. I'll straighten it out, work something out with Mercury. I got an appointment with him tomorrow.
So that worked out?
Well, I got the meeting at least. And I'll tell you how it went tomorrow night when I get the chance, so you won't have to worry that long. I'll bring you guys up to make sure we all know not to bring you guys up.
Is that gonna be enough? The heat on this is really bad.
Everyone's gonna tell you that what we did to Unstoppable HQ was a professional job. And I work with some professionals to do it, so they're gonna be right. If we tell people not to talk, there's a good chance they're gonna think it's an order coming from somebody really serious. Personally, I expect the CIA to get involved and try to rule out a foreign influence.
Don't they have guys that can read minds?
Well, they might bring in a mind reader, but for that to be useful, they're gonna have to know whose minds they should be reading. For my brushes with that stuff, what I can tell is that the mind is an impractical and confusing place. It's not always perfect.
Well, won't they go to people who've worked with Mercury? You know, to see if they knew anything about this?
I can't promise they won't. On that consideration, I might need to ask you a difficult question, Danny. Does Thor particularly like that guy? The one that you made a deal with to see Mercury?
Well, no, they don't really know each other that well. It's his friend's uncle.
Does Thor's friend know that you set up this deal?
No, Thor went directly to the uncle, so only the uncle knows that Thor is involved with Mr. Green. Thor's friend isn't like...
All right, so we've got two options here. If we want to be sure, I could float that to Mercury when I see him. He'll get the drift, and this guy might cease to be a loose end. Given our limited resources, one thing we can produce at low cost and minimal effort is brutality. Criminal organizations go to those kinds of solutions because they're permanent and affordable. However, that's a dark road, and the old Demons Legion used to avoid that when we could, which was always an important part of our PR. We always wanted to bring people on for an idea and a purpose, because that keeps people motivated, and it keeps them quiet more naturally. Of course, that takes a lot of moving and planning and organization, and unfortunately you raise a concerning point about the mind reading. Assuming the CIA gets involved, it's a dangerous possibility this guy Thor talked to is going to give up information whether he wants to or not.
Well, is there anything else? I mean, like, what's the second option?
Own up to reality and accept that what we do has direct consequences for us. You ever wonder why so many henchmen wear uniforms and face-concealing masks, and then wind up living in compounds with whatever villainous organization they join? Because when you break the law, people will come looking for you. The uniform makes you an organization, makes you blend in. So when people think about the crimes, they think about the villain and not the individual guys doing the dirty work. We could have Thor be the first henchman of our new organization. Go underground, go into hiding, lose his face. And even if this dude rats on him from telepathy, they won't find Thor anywhere. There is no Thor. There's just the Doomed Men. Or the Green Men, I don't know.
Doomed Men?
Do you like Mr. Green or the Doomed Men more?
For an organization, I think the Doomed Men sounds cooler. I don't really like it for just one guy. It's kind of like a... I don't know. But I feel like it's kind of cool if you join up and you're like, you have to. You're doomed. You're Doomed Men. I don't know. Let me check with Thor.
Well, Thor doesn't have time to think about it. I'm going to talk with Mercury tomorrow. We need to decide now.
Okay, I'll see what he says now. He's with me. Hold on. You hear Danny talking for a little while, and eventually he says, Thor says he's cool to be the first Doomed Man. He likes Doomed Man more. He helped out his friend's uncle, and the uncle helped out Thor, so everybody's solid. Nobody should get hurt because of that.
Okay, the choice is made. We can let that guy talk, but if he does, Thor no longer exists. He's one of my guys now, and he's with me till the end.
Okay, well, I got one more problem.
Yeah, lay it on me.
So Anthony has been really upset, because he didn't want to sign up to blow up buildings, you know? He wants to help people. And he's not here with me now, but he's got together a whole list of, like, friends and family who need their cars fixed or who have really outrageous medical bills or who just can't pay off loans, you know, and he's starting to get mad about waiting. because, like, it's affecting people that he knows now. And he says just waiting is the same as not doing anything.
Yeah, well, Anthony's right. I'm afraid to start spending too much money, but here's maybe what we can do. Tell Anthony to get a lawyer and set up a charity. Pillar Realty will start donating to his cause, and he can use that as an allowance to buy and cancel people's debts, fund their health care, whatever he's got to do. We'll pay for the legal counsel and whatever other fees there are. Anthony is going to be in charge of that charity. It's all under his name. What I advise is that you also come up with a list of names that you want to help, and you go to Anthony with it. That way he feels respected, and he's being given control, and he gets his fair shake. Let him know it's not free money. He should take it seriously and think about the business components. We'll invest where we can, but the more self-sustaining his own operation is, the more he can personally do with it.
All right. Yeah. Yeah, I think he'll like that. Actually, we all like that. That's good. Thank you.
Absolutely, Danny. This is going to get hectic and might fall apart, but we'll all do our best to pull through together.
Yeah. Yeah, all right. Then everything is square. I think we're good.
Good. Don't hesitate to bring up any more problems if you got them. I know there's always something. Yeah, you know, it's just the business. All right, I'll talk to you tomorrow night.
Will do. Talk to you then. And Danny hangs up.
Okay, well, I'm thinking about loose ends. I gotta call Gavin.
Sure, you call Gavin. He answers. Hello?
Mr. Gavin.
Oh, it's you. You know, I've been terrified not to answer phone calls from unknown numbers now. And every day I answer like 10 scam calls, which I think is making them call me more. Can we just communicate by carrier pigeon or something? There's gotta be a better way than this.
Gavin, I was calling to ask if you'd seen the news.
Yeah, I saw. I had a feeling it was you. You said you were a shapeshifter and you made yourself look like the coffee CEO. Look, I haven't talked to anybody about anything.
Really? In spite of the now enormous reward being offered for information leading to my capture?
I don't know where you are. I'm managing your company, like you said, but I barely understand what's going on. I'm just signing off checks for shell companies, going to shell companies, going overseas, and then coming back. If I called the cops, the only thing that would happen is I'd lose this job and maybe get arrested for signing a bunch of stuff that... I don't know if I'd even get arrested for signing that. I don't know what's going on.
Well, I have something new I'd like for you to sign. We're going to begin offering money to a charity. A legitimate one, by the way. They help settle outstanding debts and other financial issues.
I'm sure it'll wind up on my desk in the blur of other papers that I'm supposed to sign.
I just wanted to let you be aware that if you know of anyone in need, we can fast-track an intervention and help them right away. I don't suppose you know of anyone with medical debt or an outstanding student loan.
Yeah. I mean, I know people like that. Like, yeah.
Well, then I'm going to send you some cards for the charity. Hand those out to your friends in need, and they'll provide relief. You've been doing good work so far, Gavin. And while money and health insurance is one thing, being surrounded by happy friends and family is a much better gift.
Are there any strings attached? Like, is there something I have to do, or that my friends will have to do?
No strings what forever. This is an honest-to-goodness good deed.
Okay. Well, I'll let them know, I guess.
Good. Farewell. And I hang up.
Honestly, a bit of a weak link there.
Yes, here's some money. Please don't turn me in for, like, honestly, way more money than this. Gavin's a bit of a blind risk.
Well, you've never threatened to kill him, but how's he to know that you're not gonna do it? As far as money goes, though, you're probably not gonna be able to outspend the U.S. government.
Well, I guess that'll blow up if or whenever. For now, I'm gonna head up and meet with Nicholas.
Nicholas invites you into the apartment. He's got your hostage video on the TV. He says, I've been rewatching the recording here, and you know what? I think I take issue with the lighting. We went for a 3-point lighting because we didn't want to be too scary, but I think we should have leaned into the horror lighting. The juxtaposition might have bent around and made it funny. It'd be less clear if we're trying to be scary or if the whole thing is a big ironic trick.
I thought you'd be watching the news about the Unstoppable building.
I watched for a little while, but they've said all they need to say. People get hooked on that stuff because of the mystery. You know, who did it? Why'd they do it? But I know who did it. The coffee video is a bigger deal for me.
If I'm being honest, the coffee video feels like it didn't even matter. The motive for the video is totally overshadowed by the event that follows.
Well, yeah. A huge act of destruction is going to be bigger news than some guy feeling disgruntled about the state of our society. Or about a woman being dangled over coffee. They don't care why you did it, they just want to know if you can do it again and if someone is going to stop you.
I had to watch a recording of Lowry's press brief. You know, it makes me so angry. He and his buddies lobby to make the whole economy easier to manage so they can lazily roll over and win at the game without putting in real work. They're never going to see real change out of Freeze Frame. The whole point is that he does what he does so he can stay lazy.
Well, look, sometimes villainy is just about getting your licks in where you can. You got to see them react to everything firsthand, right?
Now, Flux freaked out about his mom, but I don't know if that by itself totally justifies the trouble. He's easy to freak out. I probably could have got a rile out of him by putting a live raccoon in his car.
Why don't you?
Put a raccoon in his car?
Yeah.
Well, I...
Put a raccoon in that guy's car.
I could put a raccoon in his car.
We're at the point where you already kidnapped his mom, blew up a building, and kidnapped Kelvin McDonald. Flux is the enemy. He gets a raccoon in his car.
I mean, the best part is I think he'd need my help to get rid of it.
Put one in Freeze Frame's car, too.
No, he'd suspect me right away. I think the thing with Flux is that he'd know it's kind of crazy to put a live animal somewhere it doesn't belong. So Flux wouldn't accuse me, because, like, why would I do it? But Freeze Frame knows I would.
Well, what can you do that Freeze Frame wouldn't expect that'd really make him mad?
Well, I'd have to think about that one.
Because that's how you mess with him, right?
I mean, I could come up with something. Other news and important tasks. I got the meeting with Mercury. So we need some game planning there just to feel comfortable. And also, you remember the carryout crew?
I remember you talking about them. They're kind of peripheral, aren't they?
Yeah, well, one of those guys, Thor, he put his neck out for me to get in touch with someone in Mercury's gang. But they realized there's about to be a lot more government involvement, and the possibility of a telepath isn't that unlikely with stakes this severe. So Thor needs to go full henchman, in case this contact's mind gets read.
Why not ice Thor's guy? Solves the problem.
Well, partly it's not ethical.
Paul, we're way past being ethical by now. I mean, practicality has
and
to
partly,
prevail.
And partly, as I think on it, if we kill a guy who's connected to Mercury, we'll probably draw more attention. They'll wonder why we killed him and might start looking into who he knows, what's going on with him. If we're going to be paranoid about mind reading, we should remember to see the forest for the trees and understand that any move to block access to anybody could provoke suspicion and interest that wouldn't have been there before. Maybe they don't talk to this guy at all. You know, he's not that important. Maybe they don't read his mind. Maybe he just falls off the radar quietly and goes away. A hit puts him on the radar, gets it investigated. It's a bad idea.
Okay, all right. This could be you looking for excuses to take an action that you've already decided on, or a lack of action. But that logic does track, and I don't have a good counterpoint. So, then what do you do with all this?
Thor's going henchman. He'll be the first official doomed man. And now if we need a little extra costume muscle, maybe we'll put him in a goofy outfit and he can hang out with us.
Alright. I have been missing the bright colored suits.
So, I was thinking he could stay at your place.
Is he going to help pay rent?
Actually, what are you talking about? I'm paying your rent now.
Yeah, okay, that's right. I guess, I mean, is he going to pay for like half the rent and increase my allowance money?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I don't think he'll have any issues with that. He might object to the idea of paying for half the housing at first, but like, we do have to pay for it. So if that's clear, this would be like, no
actually,
problem.
I have a thought. Could you use your company to buy an apartment complex and then let me landlord the place? That way we can live there, and if we need to expand to provide for more henchmen, we can turn the complex into a base of operations.
That's a good idea. Actually, cut Thor in on this. The more skin these guys have in the game, the less we have to worry about them flipping on us for the cash reward. The government can offer money, but we can offer respect.
It'll also help generate more disposable income. Yeah, but sure, I'm not opposed to rooming with a business partner. Send the guy over.
All right, good. Good thoughts. Meanwhile, I'm thinking about Mercury. And the trick there is, how much leverage can we generate over him? And how much leverage is he going to have over us?
Okay, change the subject. So if this were you, and some other supervillain showed up as a walk-in planning to join your organization, what would you do?
If it were me, I wouldn't let that guy in unless I'd nailed his balls to the chair and made sure there was no way to regret it. Villains have enormous egos, and if you can't tame that somehow, they do bite.
So, he's going to need something on Mr. Green. What's he got?
Now, he may have looked into Thor already. If I were him, I would have. But we're moving Thor out of the picture. Thor maybe ought to be part of the conversation, just so that Mercury knows we moved him outside of the range of authorities, and not to get away from Mercury.
If he knows you moved him, he'll probably ask to take Thor off your hands. That'd give him power over you because you show you care.
They might just feign ignorance on Thor. Or say we killed him. Also, try to change the subject to Mercury's amazing exploits. One thing we know about the guy is that he tends to be paranoid and overly cautious. Killing Rudy is probably the biggest thing he'll ever do, but he'll want to be praised for it and have his ego stroked. Thing is, though, destruction is easy. Anybody can destroy. Even blowing up Unstoppable HQ, you know, might be impossible to get away with in the long run, but doing it definitely took a lot less effort and manpower than it required to build in the first place. Mercury was lucky. In the right place at the right time to kick over a sandcastle that wasn't even his. But still, he's going to want to hear it was a great accomplishment.
I guess it says something about him that he wants to see you after you blew up a building. If it were you in his place and some villain you didn't know blew up Unstoppable HQ, what would you think?
I'd have thought that guy was a child, Just looking for attention.
Well, you did it, you know, so what does that make you?
Kind of a childish guy, looking for Mercury's attention.
And maybe attention from other people, too. But, you know, I guess just lean into that. On some level, that has to be what Mercury wants to see out of you. Or else, why would he agree to meet you? He sees that you did something difficult and wants to believe that you did it to impress him and get his approval. And he wants more things like this to be attributed to him.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's not like we did anything, really. You know, I want to see what they're saying. They built whole media empires to handle big stories. Let's flip on the news and see how they're handling this.
I lost interest in that already. We know they're not going to say anything that we'd want to hear.
Yeah, and I'm burning the candle at both ends and need to go to bed. But I mean, still, it's burning me up. Let's just flip through the channels and see where they're at with this.
Nicholas turns on the news, and honestly, it's more grim and hollow than you might expect. They've run out of substantial details to talk about. Nicholas is right. And although it's been less than 24 hours, they've already transitioned into partisan politics and changing the subject away from anything that might have mattered. They notice that there was some economic resentment in your video, so they're talking about whether or not your ideals really encompass a polycultural identity. And they make it sound like polyculture is a good thing. Then, meanwhile, the other side of the political aisle is rejecting you outright for being too polycultural. None of it means a thing to you. And it probably doesn't mean anything to anybody, really. The big takeaway is that both sides agree that you're the bad guy. And while they blame each other for having not already stopped you or for allowing you to exist, they also know that you need to be punished. If you search through social media and the internet, it's all just sort of an echo of the same things, but with more conspiracy theories that completely lose the plot and don't seem to understand why any living human would do anything.
You know, I didn't put a lot of effort into the message. Like, it wasn't really the point.
It wouldn't matter. If you'd made a really good point, even if you'd never broken a law, they'd just change the subject, or they wouldn't hear it in the first place. If I knew a way that we could make a point that mattered, then I'd say we should be doing that instead.
How people read this matters if we have any plans to do future recruiting, though. And people attracted to this are going to reflect the actions we've taken so far. We want people who like the old ways that we used to operate, the philanthropy and the chicanery. If we attract people that like that we blew up a building, then we'll build an organization that wants to blow up more buildings.
Well, apparently we know for sure you won't attract anyone who's worried about being polycultural.
Whatever. Let's just stay focused on what's in front of us. Meeting with Mercury tomorrow, and soon after, his head.
Then we gotta think what we're gonna do after that.
We gotta build something, Nicholas. I mean, that's the thing. Destroying is easy. Tearing down is easier than building. If I can't build something, then I'm just an angry little kid looking for attention.